I'll be talking about maximizing the media mix in the National Behavior Change Communications Program using hand washing as a case study. I want to first tell you a little bit about the Global Public-Private Partnership for Hand Washing. It was founded in 2001 by a group of partners who felt that not enough attention was being given to the most basic part of the public health toolkit. And we support national hand washing programs, and we have programs pretty much in every continent. I've listed some of the countries there, but we tend to target larger countries that have very high mortality rates from hand washing related diseases like diarrhea and respiratory infections. Because every year, about 4 million children die from these diseases, and many countries, particularly in Africa, hand washing preventable diseases are the number one killers of children. And hand washing is typical of many public health behavior change programs, such as some of the ones we've heard today, alcohol, tobacco, alcohol abuse, obesity, sedentary lifestyle. People really know what they should do. It's simply that there are too many barriers, or it's not a habit, or we're not motivated enough. So we need to move people from the position where they are now to an ingrained, motivated state where they practice these behaviors on a daily basis. We have an additional challenge in hand washing because it's not an activity of exclusion. It's not smoking or not drinking. It's an active thing that people have to do at critical times, every point during the day. And it's important to note that behavior change is correlated with the number of messages received and also the different channels through which they're received. So, for example, if someone receives 5 messages about hand washing and another person receives 10 messages, the person who receives 10 messages is more likely to have behavior change. And if there's some person who receives 10 messages via the radio and another person who receives 5 via the radio and 5 via personal contact, the person who received the 10 messages via the 2 different channels is more likely to change their behavior. So that's another thing to keep in mind when choosing your media mix. It's very tempting to put all your money in one basket and have a really good television campaign or just a really good radio campaign. But the thing is, you need to scatter your seeds in a variety of different channels. And our case study was in Ghana. That's where we did our first program, and this work was done in conjunction with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And the first thing that we did was build our evidence base. It's very important that you do the research, the formative research, and often it's anthropological research to find out, how is hand washing perceived, how are ideas of dirt and smell perceived. And this can be applied to any problem, such as for alcohol. What role does alcohol play in the culture? It plays a very different role in France than it does in the U.S., and you need to dig down and get the data on this because this will affect both how you craft your messages and also how you get the messages to your target audience. So in what channels reach your target audience? We were looking at lower-income women and then children of school age. And so different radio programs, different television programs had different audiences. We needed to find out when the women and children were watching or listening and what programs they were listening to. Which channels do you trust the most? Because there's quite a difference between channels you're most exposed to and the channels that are more likely to change your behavior or that you're more likely to trust the information from. And we often find out people more likely trust local sources or sources that are medically related. And how much do the different sources cost? It can vary greatly across countries. And if you have a limited budget, as all of us do, you need to invest wisely. And what are the logistical challenges? Our program has done a lot of community-based events. It can be quite difficult during the rainy season to get a group of actors or a group of animators out to rural Zambia. And also, what's the replicability of the channel? Every time I run the TV ad, I can guarantee it's going to be the same. If it's pre-recorded, it's always the same. Every time we do an event, the people might just be going through the motions, but they might not be doing it very well, or they may have been given certain messages, and they're choosing only the ones they like the best, not doing all the ones that you're asking them to give. So you have to think about the replicability of your different channels. And then with the issue of picking the media mix, we worked with commercial marketers. We also do work with public health communication specialists as well. But commercial marketers have unique insights into changing behavior, particularly through emotions and, rather than through logic. And this once more goes to the fact that most people know they're supposed to hand wash, it's just that they're not motivated to do it. And so for the Ghana program, we chose this mix of media. We had two television ads in three languages on three television stations, and this was targeting mothers and school children. And these ads ran five times a day for 6 months. Then we had the two radio ads, which ran five times a day for 6 months, and that was geared towards mothers. And then we had billboards and posters, which were posted in schools and communities. And then after the mass media, we then had a phase of regional launch that had community-based activities. We had activities in each of the districts in Ghana. Once more, this media mix was picked to maximize both exposure and behavior change. And so in the evaluation of this phase one, we did a national representative survey, interviewed mothers, school children, men, and did in-depth interviews as well. This was compared to a baseline that was done before the activity started. And what we found on exposure, 71% of women have heard of the hand-washing campaign. And then you can see where the women have heard of it from, and you see that almost 70% of them have heard of it from TV. So TV, as we predicted, indeed had the farthest reach. And then the smallest reach, which wasn't a surprise, was the events. That's because events are discrete incidences. They're only for an hour in a given town, whereas you produce one TV ad and you can show it again and again, so much more people are likely to view it. And when we tested message recall, we found that 69% of the women were interviewed knew the hand washing song. There's a song that sort of tells you the proper times to hand wash and how you should hand wash and how it should be done with soap. And we see that, once again, TV, the most number of women have learned about it from TV, but an interesting thing to note is that 30% had learned it from their children and 11% had learned about it from friends. This is unpaid media. This is freebie. It's free time. And so it's important to look at how does media affect sort of the either the nag factor of children or sort of the discourse at the village square, and you can get sort of this amplification of your message. So you want your messages to be the type of thing where you might say, you're at the well gathering water, you might say to someone, I heard this interesting song, or maybe to pass the time, let's sing this, or I saw the most interesting image, let me tell you about it. So get something that's talkable, that people want to tell stories about and entertain their friends and family about. And digging down more into the word of mouth, what was found is that the friends, 53%, spouses and children were the word of mouth channels. And an interesting thing to note, what came out in a lot of the qualitative research, and this is true in many cultures, is that TV is a communal event. It's not just one person watching TV, or not just a nuclear family watching TV. It will be several neighbors or a large family group, because many of the families either don't have a television or it's just more social to watch it together. And the discussions that occur around the TV help domesticate the message, because no matter how much research you do, in certain countries there'll be different subcultures, or every family is different. Every family needs to see, how does this message fit into my life? If I'm, for example, if I am an agricultural worker and always have soil on my hands, how does hand washing fit into my life? How do I react to that? Versus if I'm a cook and I'm handling food all the time, how do I fit hand washing into my life? So it's very important for domestication and sort of the tailoring of the message. And then when we looked at behavior change by channel, this is people who actually change their behavior, not people just reporting exposure, you see that the highest rates of behavior change were from event attendees. So that's important. We reach more people via television, but for every person exposed, events are more likely to change the behavior. So once more, it's the need to balance your coverage, which is TV, versus your behavior change, which is your event. And then then so you see that the total number for TV was higher. That's the second set of numbers. So based on this research, what we plan to do in Ghana for the next phase is actually first we need to do a little bit more data analysis. We need to figure out the cost per person with behavior change for each channel. And that's different from the cost per exposure for channels. We need to sort that out. And we need to determine the percent recall and the percent behavior change for each channel. Because once more, that's different. The percent recall may be high for television, but the percent behavior change is lower for television and for events. And then re-optimize our media mix. It's sort of a red queen game. You can't stand still. You have to continually change your media mix. People will get bored of the same messages, and they'll tune it out. Every day, people are bombarded by hundreds of messages. You know, vote for this person, buy this beer, use this hair color. And so you have to constantly have something new. And so for the phase two evaluation, we'd like to also investigate more of the impact of the posters and the billboards. Because in our evaluation, people didn't mention them very often. I mean, part of this might be because it's a semi-literate society, even though the posters were designed so that non-literate people could understand them. It's a pretty basic message of hand washing the soap. But there is some thought that the role of posters and billboards might be to trigger the behavior and to serve as a reminder that once you've already made the decision to hand wash, you know, when you see a billboard, you're like, oh yeah, I need to go wash my hands. And then we need to test different sequencing strategies. Right now, there's a theory that TV and other forms of mass media will raise the awareness, but that the events trigger the actual behavior change. So we need to study that a little bit more. And then investigate the impacts of these new and non-traditional media. And I've just put a list here of what some of these media are. Cell phone text messages. I do most of my work in Africa, and Africa is the fastest growing cell phone market in the world. And even people who really are relatively poor have access to cell phones. And in fact, there's some schemes where you can get free time on your cell phone if you're willing to receive a certain number of paid text messages or voice messages. Water bills. Our country coordinator, Peru, has been extremely innovative on trying to find sort of free real estate to put hand washing messages. She worked with the water utility and found out that the reverse side of their water bills was completely blank. Now they have hand washing messages on them. She also worked with a company kind of like Avon that their main customer was poor and rural women. These were exactly the women we were trying to reach. And so they were able to train their salespeople to give hand washing messages. And they did this sort of as a corporate social responsibility or a charity event. But they eventually reported to us that it made their salespeople feel so much better about themselves that they were actually doing something positive. You know, rather than just sort of selling a vanity product, cosmetic, they were helping improve children's health and helping to save lives. So they saw it as a real morale booster for their company. Closed-circuit television. In countries, often bus lines or banks will have a television playing in the lobby or playing on the bus, and getting your messages on that is a great free form of advocacy and advertising. Bounty packs. This was a very creative thing that was done in Ghana. These are gifts of things to a new mother to help her with her infant. So, you know, it might be brushes or diapers, things like that. It also included soap. So it sent a strong message from, you know, from the hospital or clinic, from the health community, that soap is an essential part of taking care of your baby's health. And it's certainly a very teachable moment, a vulnerable moment for a new mother who wants to do her best to take care of her newborn infant. And also, you know, we looked at different types of community events, hand washing contests, parades, once more involving children, such as all the speakers have mentioned. And exploring more of this viral marketing or word of mouth, getting people to repeat your message, the message is somehow so appealing or striking or interesting that they'll mention it to a friend, because that's where behavior change really does occur. So thanks so much for your attention.